I was one of those people that you would look down on. I was one of those people that you might talk about in the street. But guess what? I have been changed by the glory of God and by the Spirit of God. I'm a different, I'm a new creature. And you know, the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, he's a what? He's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But people who don't want, people always living in your consignment past. They want to go back and get the stuff that you used to have, the stuff that you used to do. Tell them, look, I don't have a consignment shop. I got a new shop that you can get some new stuff. I can tell you how I came from there to here. I can tell you how I went from rags.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
taught in the Word. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I present to you today our pastor and teacher, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Amen. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word today. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And for those who listen by way of radio and by CD, we pray that you, by the Spirit of the living God, will meet us in the text, tailor the truth we're teaching so that every hearer's heart might hear and understand, also might practice the principles, receive the prophets, and more importantly, give you the praise. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise, if you will. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to ask you today, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? I can't begin to tell you power of your mind and how your life and life decisions are directly connected with your mind. How important it is for you to guard your mind, because that's where the devil does his greatest work on us. That's where he plants his thoughts. That's where he gives us ideals. That's where he takes our aimlessness or nothingness and creates something of wickedness out of in the mind. Whatever he wants you to do in a wicked act first begins in your imagination, in your mind. And so, as the old adage goes, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Amen. So it's important to make sure that your mind has all of the things necessary. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, you know, this is so important, because there are many times our mind takes us on journeys and adventures that some of us barely make it back from. And if we do get back, we are messed up when we come back. And we're wondering why. I mean, you'd be surprised. It'll happen right here in church while you're sitting under the word of God in the house of God. The enemy, if the mind is not at peace, will take your thoughts and on and on and on. You can be in a business meeting. It could be doing something very important, and your mind can roam and go off. And yet, what is most important is understanding how to stabilize the mind. And so, to stabilize the mind, the Bible says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, complete peace." How will God do that? By you keeping your mind on him. In other words, if you put your mind on God, God gives your mind what it needs to be content. If you say to God, "God, I want to think of you. I want to think of the things you want me to do. I want to have you to control my thoughts." God will fill your thoughts with the things that you ought to have, the things you ought to desire, the things you ought to do, the things you ought to become. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So once you learn how to stabilize your mind on God, you'll notice that God knows how to put everything in focus. Let me share something else important with you, because I just want to walk through the word and help us, because if we're going to win this spiritual battle, you got to know where to fight. And a real battleground isn't another human being. It's not your boss. It's not, you know, some of your neighbors, not this person who cussed you out, and it's not all. It's your mind. See, because whatever Satan's going to do, it, he's going to do it by permission of your mind, or without you recognizing he's there. And he's so cunning, he'll devise a thought and make you think you thought it. And you'll take it and you'll adopt it and you will begin to embellish it until you buy into it and become whatever it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So the next thing I want to tell you about that is, you've got to give your mind a focus. You've got to give your mind a focus. First verses we talked about had to do with stabilizing your mind. You've got to stabilize your mind. Keeping your mind on God keeps your mind stable, perfect peace. But you've got to give your mind a focus, because the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your mind, so is your life. In other words, as your mind becomes developed in a thought, an ideal, or some desire, the end result of this is going to be that it's going to play out in your life. How many of you have heard of self-fulfilling prophecy? Self-fulfilling prophecy means that you have conjured up a thought or gotten a thought or desired a thought, and you have activated your faith. Now, a whole lot of folk don't know that faith works both in the positive and in the negative. Whatever you believe, if you believe it, then that's what's going to bring it to pass. So if your faith is working in the negative and you believe that, that's what you're going to have. I'm going to share that with you in scripture in just a little while, but I need you to understand, because faith is a powerful medium, because it is a supernatural and a spiritual matter, both God and Satan can use the power of faith either positively or negatively. And so when you take information and you don't give your mind a focus, then your mind will process information, and according to the flesh, it will desire things that are not godly. According to the flesh, your mind will begin to see some things and desire some things and want some things, and so it will begin to strategize how it can bring that thing to pass. I mean, how many of you realize there are certain thoughts in your own mind that you have gotten the gain of because you thought from conception to reality that thing through? You thought of that idea and you added to that idea and you made that idea a reality. How many folk know that they do that? See, some of us do it consciously, some of us do it unconsciously, but you've got to give your mind a focus. If you don't give your mind a focus, a mind is like a child. It'll find one. But the problem is, what it focuses on might not be good for you. Now, I want you to read Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Now, I want you to also see, not only must you give your mind a focus, but you must also give your mind an assignment. Give your mind an assignment. Read.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Oh, wait, that's good. That's good right there. Now listen to this. He concludes the verse by saying, think on these things. What is he doing? He's giving his mind an assignment. No. He's telling them in the assignment what to focus on, but he's giving the mind an assignment. Because the mind needs an assignment to function properly, to give the productivity that one wants, especially in God, you've got to give the mind an assignment. Give it something that's God-like, that's good, that's well, that's pure. All of the things that God wants the mind to think on, these are the things that you must focus. Again, what you begin to think on is what you become. See, so if you don't give your mind an assignment, every day I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to think on these things. Now, what does that do? That starts shaping my mind to become like this, to desire this, to want to be like this, to have this active in my life. So that's why you've got to be careful, because the mind needs an assignment. It needs an assignment. If you don't give the mind an assignment, again, the mind will assign something to itself. And that will 9 out of 10 times be something negative, because the mind is connected with the flesh more than the spirit. You see, because we are in the atmosphere of the earth. We are in the atmosphere of the natural, the body, the flesh, the blood. All of those things war against the spirit. So because of that, I've got to take my mind and prepare my mind to war with me rather than against me. I've got to teach my mind how I wanted to think, what I wanted to think, what I wanted to focus on, how I wanted then to be stabilized. I don't want my mind here and there. I don't want to be an emotional roller coaster, up and down. I'm happy one minute, crying the next minute, fussing the next minute, and crying the next minute, happy the next minute. That's just too much stuff. Amen. Too much. People don't even know how to approach you. They don't know what you're going to say today. I'm scared to say good morning. What is good about it? What? Oh, Lord. Just don't know how you're going to act. Don't know where your mind is. So you've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, we can't impact the world with an irradical, irrational mind. We can't impact the world if our mind is not illuminated to the things of God, so that we represent him, we look like him, we talk like him, we act like him, we walk like him, we become him in the earth realm. So that means we have got to shapen and sharpen our minds so that that is the mentality of our minds. Listen to what something else the Bible tells us. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, here's some interesting things I want to pull out of this verse. First of all, the Bible says, for God hath not, he has not given us, talking about believers, the spirit of fear. Now, well, where does the spirit of fear come from? From Satan? From the enemy? If it's a spirit of fear, then I need to understand it's a supernatural force. Supernatural force. How does it work? It works on and with your mind. Amen. Satan's power that influences your mind, Satan's fear tactics, all of the things and strategies and issues, etc., that he brings upon you, he brings it to your mind. We are more afraid of things the enemy has brought against us that will never materialize in the natural realm. But we have paid an awesome price in our mind. Many of us have suffered and gone through everything mentally and emotionally that that pain of fear can bring upon us, except the reality of it. And you know fear, you know the acronym for it, false evidence appearing real. That, in other words, Fear takes you through the process without you going. In other words, you pay for a ticket and don't even go on the ride. It gives you all of those same emotions and all of those same reactions, etc. And in your mind and in your body, you experience all of those things fear can cause. If fear grips your mind, it just as well have your body. Because fear can literally paralyze you, where you're scared to move, scared to turn your head, scared to look behind you, scared to say anything, scared of what's going to happen because of the power of that spirit that's connected with fear. It paints a picture so clearly that you think you're experiencing it. How many times you've gone to the dentist and before you've gone there, you've had a panic attack? You hear it all in your mind, the drill. You can't stand to be shot, you know, the dead in the gums. You go through all of that mental anguish. And listen to this. It's been so long since you've been, they got new technology now, and you don't even got to go through a lot of the stuff you deal with now. But you wear yourself out. You fear yourself so much so that you make you put off. And then you get to the doctor. Can't sleep at night. Done took all Aura Gel and everything else you got. Then you get up in the morning when it's time to go to dinner. Oh, my tooth not hurting no more. That's good. Ooh, I feel better. Yeah, you feel better temporarily. Because fear has paralyzed the pain momentarily enough so that the greater fear of going to the doctor is heightened above the pain that you truly feel. And the moment you relax your mind, guess what? Toothache comes right back. Drink some cold water. Jump almost to the ceiling. Eat something sweet. So same thing with the doctor, so forth and so on. You go there, something's wrong, then you just go to thinking everything else is wrong. Well, somebody else went to the doctor and they had, you know, this, that, and the other, and Lord Jesus, they didn't come back. I plead the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. His word says I am healed. His word says I am healed. Oh, yeah, all of that. Well, if you are, go to the doctor and make sure. Check it out. Confirm it. Don't let your mind bring that kind of fear and torment on you, and then you're still wondering what lies underneath the skin. What's really going on? You hadn't really overcome that. See, the way you really overcome it is by getting it confirmed. If you believe God and all is well and everything has lined up according to that word, then you need a confirmation. Go get it checked up. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Remember, people, it is a spirit. Now, we could have an instance of fear that happens to all of us. I don't care how saved you are, how strong you are, something happens in your life and momentarily, fear grip you. But you got to shake that off. Wait a minute. Hold up here. I don't have a spirit. I may have had an occasion, an instant. I might have had an event of fear, but I ain't got no spirit of fear. Spirit of fear means I live in fear. It's going from one thing to the next thing. Everything I fear. What if this happens? What if that happens? I ain't got time to waste my time fearing about something. Whatever is going to be, listen, beyond my control, I can't do nothing about that. So that's where I trust God, who trusted in thee. But thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. I do what I can do, but what I can't do, I trust God to do. And that's the mentality I have to have with my mind. I have to believe God for. He's given me a mind that's full of power. He's given me something stronger than the weakness that the enemy wants to make my mind. He's given me love. 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 Agape love. God's love. The God kind of love that triumphs over everything. Even my enemy. Love on the inside of me and in my mind can triumph over every hateful, evil thing that comes against me with God's love or the God kind of love. Jesus demonstrated that on the cross of Calvary when they nailed nails in his hands and nails in his feet and hung him up high, stretched him out wide, and he cried out, Father! Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the God kind of love. Not, oh, I'm going to get you, you hate. Not getting even, not getting back, not setting your mind up for revenge. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Why am I going to waste my time trying to think about getting over on somebody that done hurt me, misused me, abused me, etc., when all I got to do is tell my Father about it, who already saw it, who already knew it, but I put my case in his hands and said, Lord, fix it for me. And I go on about my business. I got news for you. He's got a whole lot more time and resources and everything else necessary to take care of that situation. And I ain't got to waste my time waiting. If I just go on about my business, I'll hear about it sooner or later. Or God will send them back crawling on their knees. He'll make my enemies my footstool. So I've got to know how to teach my mind. So then if I'm going to do what the Bible says, then that means literally that I've got to frame my mind. I've got to let my mind know or have restrictions. Put that down, write that down. Your mind has to have restrictions. Why? Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That means a God-based mind, solid on the word. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, his mind was solid. When the devil tried every attempt he made, he went back through his sound thinking and said, it is written. See, when you got a sound mind, you can recall. Y'all catch that sometime later. When you got a sound mind, you can go back and remember stuff. You can put God in remembrance of his word. God, you said if this happened and I do such and so, you would do such and so. I'm calling on you now to do what you promised you would do. God gets excited about those who can recall his word and bring him to remembrance of what he said so that you can get the benefit of that. A sound mind helps you not to freak out and just go crazy when stuff happens to you that you can't explain. There are a lot of things you won't be able to explain, but isn't it good to know that you know the one who can explain it? And if not, you know this. He can explain it, but if he does not do it, you know that he has your best interest at heart. And so if you don't, he don't want to give you all the details, here's what you resolve. Romans 8:28, and we know. You don't want to tell me all of the details right now, but I know that all of this stuff is working for my good. See, you don't let your mind just go crazy. Well, I wonder why the Lord is letting this happen to me. I wonder why the Lord is doing it. Because you somebody. Because he's been bragging to the devil and the devil is testing you. And God won't let him put more on you than what you can bear. But you're going to go through. And when you go through, you're going to come to what he's got for you. And can't nobody take it, because he lays a table out before you in the presence of your